So good to have them back with us today. And all of you, just great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And just to be a part of what the Lord is doing. 1 Samuel chapter 17, one of the most familiar chapters in the Old Testament. And I was talking to the children downstairs about this as well. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 17 down to verse number 19. And I've got this in the New Living. I rarely read my text in the New Living, but it's a story, and I thought it just made it a little bit simpler for us. So you can read from the screen or follow along in your Bible. One day Jesse said to David, "Take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers. And give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they are doing." David's brothers were with Saul and the Israelite army at the Valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. Now, this passage is part of the larger story of what we know as David and Goliath. And even for people who don't attend church, they often are familiar with the expression, it's a David versus Goliath. It's the little guy versus the big guy. Well, this morning, my subject is simply this: special delivery. Special delivery. And I'm going to invite you to pray, and then we're going to get right into it today. Father, thank you for letting us be together, for your presence in this place. And Lord, I pray that you will help me to speak. Lord, I pray that your word will get deep within our hearts. And Lord, that you'll do something within us today. You'll challenge us to draw closer to you, to believe you for greater things. Lord, that you will challenge us about our relationship with you and where we're at in that. And Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, before you're seated, turn around, shake hands with somebody, and tell them, "I want a special delivery." Okay, and then you may be seated. And after you've done that, you may be seated. When I was in high school, I had a part-time during the school year and a full-time during the summer, a job at a butcher shop or a meatpacking wholesale place. And there were a lot of interesting experiences, a lot of things it taught me. It taught me how to make hamburger and what goes in it. And I still love hamburger. It taught me how to use a meat saw, and it taught me all of these things. But one of the best parts about the job was, you know, as a 16, 17-year-old, was when they would hand you the keys to the delivery truck. And they'd tell you where they wanted you to go and deliver, because we supplied restaurants, and they tell you where they wanted you to go to take the supplies. And so you'd hop into the truck, and, you know, sometimes working in the store and working back where they were cutting, it was kind of tedious, and, you know, you're the part-time guy, so they give you the jobs that the full-time guys don't want to do. And so when they would throw the keys to the truck to you and tell you to go make a delivery, and sometimes that delivery would be a half hour away one way, it was like, I'm the king of the castle now. Because I'm going to go out and drive. Never mind that it's a pickup truck with a big wooden box on the back with the name of the company on it. It didn't really matter. I'm going to drive, and I'm going to get paid for it. And I'm not going to have to be back there doing all the things the other guys don't want to do. It was fun. Now, I look back at it now, and I probably, you know, the old truck didn't have air conditioning in the summer, and so I'm not sure that I really want to do that anymore, but there was something about it. It was a lot of fun delivering. If you were really lucky, when the normal delivery guy, the truck guy, went on vacation, they would give you the keys for 2 weeks. And it was like, this isn't even work. This is delivery. And you'd knock on the back door and somebody would yell, "Who is it?" And you're hollering, "It's the delivery guy." I don't know that I want to do that now, but it was great then. Sometimes they were happy to see me. And sometimes they were like, "You were supposed to be here yesterday." They weren't so happy. Sometimes they were on a rush and you would rush to get there and they would be so happy to see you because you saved their life and you've got their supplies. Now I'm on the other end of it. And I confess that sometimes I struggle with this. You know, I'll buy sometimes from Amazon. The only problem is I'm too cheap to pay for Prime. And then tracking, like, really? Like, it's taking that long to get here on that free delivery thing? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, I ordered something on Walmart.ca a while back, and they didn't have it in the store, so I ordered it. And when I ordered it, it said it will be here, I think it was like 3 or 4 days, and I'm like, this is great. And then they sent that tracking thing, so I'm tracking it, and I'm tracking it, and I'm tracking it, and the delivery date keeps changing, and it took a lot longer, and I don't know if you're like me, but I'm like, I want it. When I click the button, I want it, like, show up in my house an hour later, but it doesn't work that way. David was a delivery guy. Now, he was kind of like the Domino's guy because he was going down. Now, here's the story. David was the youngest son of Jesse. When Israel went to battle, his older brothers all went to be soldiers and to fight in the war. But David was left at home. He was looking after the sheep. He was too young, too small. They didn't think that he was capable of adding anything to the army. So David went one day, and his dad said, "David, I want you to take some bread, some cheese, the New Living System, grain and some cheese. I want you to take bread and cheese, and I want you to go down to where the army is and deliver this to your brothers." Now, I looked at that, and I thought, well, he wasn't the Domino's guy, but if you got bread and you got cheese, you're pretty close to having a pizza. He was the delivery guy. That was his job. That was all he was supposed to do, was be the delivery guy. And I think his dad was looking at it and saying, there is no way that David can get in trouble doing this. He was like, you know, he was like the ancient version of Uber Eats. You know, all he had to do was take the food, drop it off, say, "How are you doing, guys? Everything okay? Good, I'm going to go back and tell Dad how everything is." That's all he had to do. But he gets down there, and he hears this guy named Goliath. Now, Goliath, the New Living says he was 9 feet tall. He was a tall guy. I'm roughly 6 feet, so add 3 feet on top of me. He was a big guy. David hears this giant yelling in the middle of the valley, yelling at the army and saying, "Send me a man that we might fight. And if I win, you serve us. If he wins, we serve you." And David looked around and everybody was kind of like, you know, it's one of those uncomfortable moments. Every so often you find yourself in one of those where even in a crowd where somebody issues a challenge and instead of saying, "I'll do it," everybody's kind of, you know, the first thing that happens, you know, you kind of shuffle your feet around a little bit. It goes really quiet. Somebody coughs. You kind of look, and you're not looking at them because you think if you don't look at them, they can't see you. And so it's that quiet moment. It's that moment when it's uncomfortable and you really want to just kind of, boom, nudge somebody so that they just kind of jerk and get it over with. That was the situation. Everybody was standing around saying, "What do we do? What's going on? We can't do this." In 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 26, The New Living puts it this way. That David asked the soldiers who were standing nearby. Now remember, David's not a soldier. He's a shepherd. And he's young, a teenager. What will a man get for killing this Philistine? Hey, if I'm going to go do this, what am I going to get? And ending his defiance of Israel. And then he asked the question, why is this pagan Philistine, why anyway is he allowed to defy the armies of the living God? Why are you letting him do this? And I think there was some more foot shuffling. And you know, when people get uncomfortable and when they realize that they were in the wrong, sometimes, you know, they begin to get a little bit edgy. You ever notice that? Defensive. And so they looked at David and they're saying, David, like, you're just a kid and he's a giant. And nobody, we can't beat Goliath. It's not a good situation. It's impossible for us. And David asked the question, why are you letting him do this? And I've come here today to preach to us, whether you're a teenager or a young adult going back to school, or whether you're going to work or you've got issues in your family, the question that we have to ask is, why are we letting this happen? You say, well, I don't have any choice. It's the hand that life dealt me. It's just the way that things are, and there's nothing that can be done about it. If we look at the story of David and Goliath, the rest of what happened is history. How David faced Goliath with a shepherd's sling and a few rocks. And this is where my title comes from. Now, David didn't say this. It's just the way I look at it. But I think that when David stood out on the battlefield facing Goliath, that basically what his actions were saying was, I've got a special delivery for you, Goliath. I've got something for you. And my message today isn't about the historical event. It's about what it teaches us about living in the 21st century today, facing what you face. And you know what? We come into church, we smile, we shake hands, we sing songs. Somebody says, how are you? We say, good, because that's what you say. But I know that underneath of all of that, some of you face giants. A giant is not a person necessarily, but a giant is a problem. A giant is a stressor. A giant is one of those situations that may involve people, or it may involve health issues, or it may involve family situations, or it may involve financial needs, but you face something that seems like it's so big that there's just no way through it. We all, from time to time, face things like that. And there are some very real things that the story of David and Goliath teaches us about life. And I know that it's a story that our children know, but it's popular for a reason, because it has lessons for you and I that we can learn. So we're going to look at some of them. First of all, number one, I know you all realize this because you've been around. Number one, giants are a part of life. Giants are a part of life. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. There, in every one of our lives, there are times that we face the giant. There's that thing that seems so big, so strong, so tall, so tough, that I don't know what I'm going to do. Some of you who are here today, if people knew your story, they would marvel at the giants that you've already faced in your life. Giants, big things, struggles, pressures. The giants in the Bible were those big, hulking adversaries that got between the people of God and their destiny. Now, the interesting thing about this one, and Goliath was a big guy, but he wasn't the only giant that David would face. Do you know that Goliath had a brother who was a giant? Let me tell you this. There are sometimes you face one giant and it's got a brother down the road. Can I get an amen? Amen. Whew, it's a little quiet in here today. He's got a brother down the road. And here's a universal truth. Life is not always fair. You ever notice that? And you got a choice. You can sit back and complain about how life isn't fair. It's not fair that I've got this giant and they don't have to face this giant. But you don't know about the giant they do have to face. Because giants are a part of life. And the difference between David and his brothers was not how physically strong he was. His brothers were older, more mature, probably stronger. It wasn't about how well he could handle a sword or a spear or even a slingshot. Because most of those young guys growing up in the country learned how to be a shepherd and learned how to use a slingshot. The difference was not how smart he was. I think David was pretty smart. But his brothers, you know, when Samuel went to Jesse's house and he looked at David's brothers, he saw smart guys and big guys. And he said, these guys should be the king of Israel. The difference was how David approached the giant. And the difference between success and failure in our lives and victory and failure in our lives is not that I'm smarter. It's not that I'm more intelligent. It's not that I'm stronger. It's not that I've got more things around me. It's in the attitude and the faith that I have when I face the giant. Hallelujah. I want to stop up there just for a minute. Because this is important for the rest of the message. That sometimes we face things and we say, I wish I was somebody else. I wish I was like them. I wish I had their experience. I wish I had their strength. But the difference between David and his brothers was none of those things. It was simply that David went and heard Goliath and looked up and saw God, while his brothers looked in the valley and saw the giant. I've come here to challenge you today that sometimes you've got to lift your eyes to understand that while the giant roars, there's a God in heaven who sits on the throne who's bigger than any giant that you'll ever face. He's bigger than any giant that you're ever going to face. You know, the giants come along and Goliath roared loudly. He created fear. His challenge was intended to intimidate. You know what? The Bible says that your adversary is like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The lion roars to intimidate. He knows he can't outrun his prey a lot of the time. But if he can shock it, if he can paralyze it with fear, if he can make it stop just long enough for him to pounce, that's what the giants do when they roar. And sometimes your giant, the thing that you face, roars to cause fear or to cause anxiety or to cause frustration. And sometimes we say, it's too big. It's too loud. It's too powerful. It may be health. It may be finance. You may be, you know, you come to the middle of the month and your finance runs out. It may be family. It may be a difficult family member or situation. Sometimes a giant is just a trouble that comes. For students, it may be a teacher that challenges your faith. It might be the roar of peer pressure to get along. And that's not just about teenagers, by the way. That's all of us. But trouble is not a sign that God has abandoned you. Trouble does not mean that God has left you alone. Even in the middle of your trouble, God is at work. You know, there were some things that Paul wrote out of his personal experience about things that he had faced and things that his friends would be facing. And sometimes we get this crazy kind of idea today that if you're a Christian, you will never have a problem as long as you have faith. That's not reality. It's not biblical either, by the way. You say, well, faith conquers everything. It does. But in order to conquer, there has to be a battle. In order to overcome, there has to be an adversary. And it's one thing to say, I'm going to have victory. But the problem is sometimes we want the victory without the fight. Or we want everybody else to fight the fight for us. You got your toes in pretty good there in the chairs? I might step on a few here just now. Because David never said, Saul, why don't you take my slingshot and go? Saul was content to let David take his armor and fight. You know, Saul was head and shoulders above everybody in Israel. David was still basically a teenager. They bring David to Saul, and Saul says, David, I'm going to give you my armor, and you can go fight. Now imagine, he's a teenager, so probably hasn't filled out yet. He's probably still skinny. And they're bringing Saul's armor. Now Saul, you know, depending, if he's head and shoulders above everybody, he's well over 6 feet. And they bring his army and they hang it on David. And literally, that's what it would be like, hanging on him. You know, he's like one of those coat racks you have in the entryway, and then they hang the armor on him because he's a beanpole probably. I want you to picture this. And I thought about this, and I thought, if I was Saul, and I'm taller, stronger, and bigger than everybody else, I would be embarrassed to put my armor on a little teenager. Still got your feet in? We're getting there, just a minute. I would be embarrassed because I'm taller, bigger, stronger. And Saul was perfectly content to stay in the sidelines and send David to fight his battle with his armor. Are you good? You still love me when we're done, right? Good, here we go. It's a shame. When the giant roars, and we look around for somebody else to fight my battle. I got a couple of huhs. You pray for me. You fast for me. You get a hold of God for me. And there's nothing wrong with getting people to pray for you. There's nothing wrong with that. But there comes a point where you've got to get to God yourself in prayer to face the giant. You can't hang your armor on somebody else. You can't give your sword to somebody else. You can't wish somebody else would go and fight the battle. But when you face the giant, it's time to armor up yourself. It's time to say, God, I'm not depending on somebody else's prayer right now, but it's me, God, down here talking to you, because I know when I get down on my knees, my God is in control. I'm not looking for, I'll take fasting and prayer wherever I can get it, but I'm not looking there first. I've got to get, it's going to be me pushing back, and it's going to be me armoring up, and it's going to be me facing the giants. Sometimes we're like Saul, and it's easier to say, hey, you fight my battle for me. Now, the Bible teaches us that we are members of the body in particular. We're all in this together, and we need each other. But there are battles and giants that you will face that the pastor can't fight for you. And if you won't pray it through, it's not going to get prayed through. Am I okay so far? If you don't make up your mind to be faithful and get in church and get renewed and get what you need from God, pastor can't do it for you. Can't do it. I can pray for you. I can talk to you. I can try to help you. I can push you a little bit. Do you ever notice how much we don't like to be pushed? I can push you a little bit. I can try to encourage you a little bit. But there are battles that you've got to make up your mind, like David did when he looked around and he could have said, my brother should go or Saul should go. But David said, who is this giant? If nobody else wants to go, I might not be the first choice everybody has, but I'll stand up in the name of the Lord. I'll go. I'll face the giant. Look at what Paul said in Romans 8:35. I put this in the message. I don't use the message that often anymore, but here's what it said. He's writing about his personal experience. He said, do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? You know, sometimes we allow things to get between us and God, but it's not other people. It's us that does that. There's no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred. You know, of all the gospel preachers in the Bible, Saul was probably the most hated. Do you ever read his story? He would go into a town, his enemies would follow him, they'd raise a riot, they'd want to kill him. Sometimes they threw big rocks at him. I've never had that happen. They'd try to kill him with big rocks. They'd leave him for dead, and his friends would come pick him up, dust him off, he'd go to the next place. You know, they had to sneak him out of town over the wall in a basket one night. They beat him with rods. He gets shipwrecked. I'll tell you what, when I look at Paul and his missionary journeys, I'm thinking, you are not the traveling guy I want to be with. I mean, he gets on a boat for Rome. What can go wrong? It sinks. I mean, I don't know. Look at this. He said, not hunger, not homelessness. I've never known what it's like to be homeless, but not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing. Hey, I'm not even going to ask you if you've ever been backstabbed. Or even worse, if you've been the backstabber. Verse 36. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. Now, that's really bad. Let me come back to the King James for the next verse because you all probably can quote it. In verse number 37, he doesn't say, wow, this is really bad. I don't know what's going to happen. He said, nay, in all these things, in all these giants, in all these adversaries, in all these things that I've got to go through, he said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What Paul was saying was, I've got a special delivery from heaven for every giant that I face, for every battle that I go through, that God is with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a statement that I want you to remember. I'm not a great poet, but here goes. You might be in the groan zone, but you are never alone. You might be in the groan zone. Anybody been there? Come on. You ever been there? Wave your hand and then look around. Wave your hand. Yeah, okay, see? You're not alone if you're there today. But you are not alone. We're going back to David again in the New Living, 1 Samuel 17:41. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. That means he was very young and he was kind of reddish. Am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his gods. You can imagine the scene. 9 feet tall, probably 5 foot six. Come over here, I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals, Goliath yelled. I want you to notice verse number 45. Now, when you look at that battle, Goliath should have won every time. Every time. Because not only is it Goliath versus David, it's Goliath and his shield bearer versus David. Sometimes the giant brings a friend. But David is looking at him, and he doesn't say this, but his attitude is, I don't care how big you are, my God is bigger. Friends, when you look at your giant, it doesn't matter how big it is, your God is bigger. You say, well, my giant's 9 feet tall, and it's got huge fangs and hands the size of baseball mitts, and it's huge, and it's loud, and it's troublesome. But my God is always bigger. Not only that, I think David was saying the old expression that we use, that the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Look at what happens. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. He was saying, Goliath, you're looking at me and you see nothing. You know, one of the favorite tools of the enemy is ridicule. He'll try to convince you that you've lost before the battle is started. Ridicule. Who are you? Why are you here? You don't have a right to be here. You don't deserve to be here. But if you want to have victory, you've got to know who is for you. Now, I look at me. I'm not going to flex for you because it would be embarrassing. Like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to try to prove to you how smart I am. That might be embarrassing too. Sometimes the enemy comes and tries to convince you that you could never have victory. You could never accomplish anything. You could never be anything. You could never do anything because the giant in your way is too big. Your giant might be your past. Say, well, I failed in the past, and the past roars at you. David said, you come and you're roaring at me. But there's something you need to know. It's not just me and you and your shield bearer. And you might be this big and I'm down here. It doesn't matter. Because you got your shield bearer walking in front of you, holding a shield to protect you. And you're roaring and you're the big guy and you're all this. But you see, I didn't come here on my own. And I didn't come here by myself. He said, when you messed with Israel, when you messed with God's people, you didn't just mess with them, you're messing with God. And brothers and sisters, when the enemy roars and messes with you, you need to realize he's not just messing with you. He's messing with God. And David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you not on my own. Basically what David was saying, God and I have got a little delivery for you, David, Goliath. We've got something for you. You know what? Talent, money, friends, smarts, all of that can help. When you face run-of-the-mill ordinary enemies. But when that big one comes along that challenges, that demeans, that brings fear to the hearts of even strong men and women, the difference for David was he didn't stand alone. The difference for Paul was he said, I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. He said, I can face all of these things because when I face them, it's not just me and them, it's God and I and them. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 31, Paul continued on. He said, what shall we then say to these things? You know what? If you don't have this underlined and starred in your Bible, if you don't have a little something by it, if you want to start memorizing and you want to start with a short scripture, here's one. What shall we then say to these things? What shall we then say to these giants? What shall we then say to these troubles? What shall we then say to these obstacles? He said this, if God be for us, one of the hardest lessons we have to learn that sometimes people struggle with because of their past or their failures is to realize that God is for you. God is not against you. God is for you. And Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? If you've been intimidated by your culture that you live in, if you've been intimidated by the devil or by the things that you face, and you become accepting and said, this is just the way it has to be. I've got a special delivery from you right from heaven, that if God be for you, if God, you say, but it's been this way, but if God be for you, you say, but you don't know, Pastor, what's going on, but if God be for you, he may take you through it. He may take you over it. He may take you around it. He may erase the problem. But one way or another, God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? The songwriter put it this way in Psalm 118 and verse number 6. He said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. God is on my side. But here's the truth that goes along with what I mentioned before. You can't be a conqueror if you don't fight the battle. You can't win the victory if you don't fight the battle. You see, victory doesn't mean that you'll never have a battle. It means that God will fight for you in the battle. I want to take you to one final scripture today. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. So I look at Paul and I look at David. I come back to this scripture. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You see, when I look at David, when I look at Paul, when I look at other heroes of the faith, here's what I see. They weren't the smartest, the strongest, or had the most influence. The one thing that is common to them all is that when they faced the giant, they had faith. It doesn't mean that you've got some kind of extraordinary faith that looks so big and feels so big. Faith is simply daring to believe that God is with me in the middle of all of this and God will bring me through. That's faith. Faith doesn't mean that I have all the answers right now. Faith just means that I dare to trust God, that God will bring me through. You see, I know it was David's arm that went around that launched that stone. But really, it was David's faith that launched that stone. It was David's faith that took him to the battlefield. It wasn't his own ability. It was the understanding that if I go and face Goliath, I am not facing Goliath alone. I have faith. I have faith. I have faith. And And there's something about it when the enemy comes against you, and you might not have the answer to everything that is thrown at you, but you just simply say, like Paul, but I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which concerneth me. I may not have a good answer for everything. I may not be able to win all the arguments. I may not be talented enough, but I know one thing. I know in whom I have. I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded. Sometimes, like David, you're going to have to go into the battle alone. Sometimes, like David, not everyone's going to buy into the victory that you see. His brother said, David, you're crazy. Let me be prophetic here for a minute. When you begin to exercise your faith, when you begin to armor up in prayer and the word and fellowship, and you begin to express your faith that this giant's going to come down, there will always be somebody. I don't even need a gift of prophecy for this. There will always be somebody who will want to tell you why it can't be done, why you can't do it, and why it can't be a possibility. But that's when you need to stand up straight and say, I can't do it. It does seem impossible. But I know a God. But I know a God. And that might be my Goliath. But my faith is winding up my little slingshot. And you can tell me that my slingshot is not enough. And you can tell me that I'm not enough. But I'm going to point you to a God who is always more than enough. There's sometimes when the devil comes knocking, you've got to say, Mr. Devil, I've got a special delivery for you. I've got faith. I've got the blood of Jesus on my side. I call on the name above every name. And if you don't want what I've got for you, you better get on the run. I've got a special delivery. A special delivery. As we stand together, I feel the Holy Ghost here today. God is here to do something in your life right now. And today, I've got a feeling that for somebody, you walked in here today and your stomach is a mess. Your nerves are just right there. But I've come here to preach to you that if God is on your side, if God is on your side, you know what? The enemy will try to get you tied up with so many things, so many issues, so many what ifs, that you can sit in a service like this and get nothing because he's got you tied up. But with God, all things are possible. You notice that little part Brother Danny mentioned on Wednesday night in our discussion in Bible study, that little word, but. He said, but with God. Yeah, I can't do it, but with God. Yeah, it's too big, but with God. I'm terrified, but with God. I don't know what to do, but with God. I don't know where to turn, but the Bible says if I'll ask him, he'll give me wisdom, but with God. All things are possible. I come here to challenge somebody today to see beyond the Goliath and see the God who is bigger. There are several things that can be Goliaths in our lives, but you know one of the biggest ones is sin. The problem with sin is you can't do anything about it on your own. It's bigger than you are. It's stronger than you are. You can't fix yourself. You need God. And here's the truth about God. God doesn't say, fix yourself and then come to me. God says, come to me and see what I can do. That's what God says. And if you're here today and you've never started a relationship with Christ, there's that huge looming giant of sin. You know, you try to be better. You try to do better. You try not to fall back into bad habits. You try to do all these things. But to overcome sin, you've got to have God. Maybe that's where you're at today. It may be that today you walked in here and you're facing something in your life that you thought you'd never face. Let me tell you that even when you walk through the valley to meet your Goliath, you never walk alone. You don't walk alone. God walks along with you. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me now as we pray. Father, I thank you for your presence in this place, and I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing among us right now. Lord, I'm asking you that you would speak into our lives. Lord, for somebody here today, they're already walking into that valley, and Lord, Goliath is roaring pretty loudly. I pray, Lord, for a super dose of your power and strength. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that the spirit of a conqueror will rise up in those people's lives. Lord, I ask you, Lord, for those today who, Lord, everything is going pretty good. I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you'll put this message in their heart that when there is a giant, Lord, they'll be able to stand up and say, but God is on my side. And Lord, I ask you here in the next few moments that you would move among us, that your power and strength would be manifest among us today. God, that you would do something amazing in our hearts and lives so that we can be equipped to face our week, our world, and to help others. Lord, this I ask you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to have a prayer time. We're going to sing. We're going to pray. But if you need strength for the battle, strength for the journey, God's promise is that he will never leave you nor forsake you, but he'll be with you to the end of the age. God's power is available to you, and one thing that God promises is that he will fill us with his spirit that will empower us in our lives. And I'm going to invite you today. I'd like for us, we got lots of room here, and I'd like to invite you to come and just lift your hands and make a statement of faith that, Lord, in all these things, doesn't mean you're going through anything right now. It just means, Lord, I'm making a statement of faith in all these things.